the state of Victorian greyhound racing and the stories behind the sport. This is RSN 927's Off the Leash.
Racing, poke the bed, Dwelt Park's future began brilliantly. He's charging over. He'll roll to the early lead. Over Nangar Jack, there's one down and out. Caitlin keeping into the back. Park's future, a long leader. Over going to second, Cash Point, the inside Nangar Jack. Then Miss Linda Miro, poke the bear. They'll follow by All on Amy and Federal Lily. Park's future by four. Cash Point is eating into the margin. Park's future the leader. Cash Point coming. Park's future gripping on and he won the Pools of Thunder. Bucks Future too good. Beat Cash Point. They'll followed in by Miss Blender Miro and Poke the Bear. Followed by All and Amy. They're followed up by Nangar Jack, Bedrill Lily and Caitlin Keeping fell at the first turn.
The Group 1 Paws of Thunder from the weekend past. Welcome to another edition of Off the Leash for Greyhound Racing Victoria on RSN 927, our social media and the GRV social media as well. You're with Andrew Hughes. Joining us first up in the studio, co-hosting, of course, from the GRV team, is Brett McLaughlin. Welcome along, Brett.
Susie, great to be here.
And another rendition of the Group 1 Paws of Thunder. Not to be, though, for the Victorians in the race.
Yeah, of course, 75,000 to the winner event. As we heard from the call from Tim Newbold there, we had to settle for second, third and fourth with New South Wales star Bucks Future, trained by Sydney Swain, leading all the way to defeat Cash Point, Miss Splendor Mero and Poke the Bear. Bucks Future paid around $8 the win for Tab. It was his first group win in a time of 29.80. Wasn't too bad, actually, in just under three quarters of a length, the victory margin there. So, unfortunately, we had to settle for second, third and fourth, but a terrific addition this year.
All right, while we're early in this edition of GRV's Off the Leash, we should mention straight away some changes later in the week to meetings due to the heat. Of course, we remind you always to keep in touch with the GRV website, social media, but let's tell our listeners who haven't heard, we've had some changes.
Yeah, we have. Look, Warrigal on Thursday's been moved to a morning meeting due to the extreme forecast there. It was originally a day meeting. We've had to cancel Healesville on Friday, our rank limit meeting there with the forecast of 41 degrees. We really don't have much room to move there. So Healesville Friday's been cancelled, and we've also moved Shepparton. Was supposed to be a twilight meeting on Thursday due to the temperature forecast of 43 degrees there. We've actually moved that to a Saturday morning meeting. Obviously, this time of the year, it can be quite hot. So, look, I just ask you to monitor the GRV website, the dashboard there on Fast Track. But if you're not sure, you can always give member services a call on 8329 1100, and we'll have all the information for you there.
Brett, in the racing department there, being a racing operations manager, how fluid and how close can we move meetings? So we go from moving meetings in some cases to cancelling meetings. Yep. And obviously we know in Melbourne the old adage, if you don't like the weather, just wait an hour or a day. So when we get forecasts of 40 degrees maybe coming up on a Thursday, Friday, and then they might change to being then the Wednesday or the Thursday, give us an insight of how it works at GRV in terms of just trying to work in with the heat.
Yeah, look, we're obviously trying to monitor the weather as closely as we can. We do that every morning and afternoon because the BOM website updates twice daily. When we're dealing with meetings later on in the week, obviously we're grading 3 or 4 days in advance. We try to leave it as late as we can. Obviously, in terms of moving meetings, whether it be to another day or another time slot, we're also dependent on what Sky can give us. So at the end of the day, it's just sort of, if the clubs are going to be flexible enough and if we can get the times from Sky as to when we move the meetings to another day or if we move them to another time slot.
All right, speaking of the heat, it's always pretty hot in Queensland. We have the Group 3 Queensland Cup taking place at Albion Park on Thursday night. And again, hopefully the trophy heading to Victoria.
Hope so. Two heats of the Queensland Cup, over 600 last Thursday. Victorian star Slingshot Hammer winning his way in the $25,000 to the winner final, trained by Brendan Purcell, of course. He was the fastest heat winner in 34.90. We'll start short in betting in the final at Albion Park this Thursday night.
All right, full coverage, of course, on RSN 927. Good luck to those greyhounds in the Queensland Cup. This is Off the Leash on RSN 927 and GRV social media.
It's RSN 927's Off the Leash.
We're about to talk about the great success of the 3-day adoption event in Seymour, which became a 2-day adoption event given so many people adopting greyhounds. Before we welcome Andrew Copley into the studio, here's a short audio cut of Larissa Darra from Gap. I spoke to her on the weekend after what was an amazing success at Seymour.
It has been fantastic. We're all exhausted, but so many greyhounds have gone off into wonderful homes, so it's just been brilliant.
Obviously, the first day, Friday, very busy as people were along, but people still coming along on the weekend. And yes. The typical makeup of those that were there for the 3 days, can you tell us all sorts of varied types of families and individuals?
All sorts. Mostly, predominantly, I guess, families from suburban Melbourne, but, you know, all kinds of people. People who live in apartments, single people, older people. Because greyhounds are such an adaptable dog, they can fit into lots of different environments.
And 100-plus greyhounds are right now fitting into new environments. Let's welcome along Andrew Copley to our latest edition of Off the Leash. Andrew, what an amazing success.
Yeah, it certainly was, Kuzi. A record for adoptions of greyhounds in Australia ever. So 111 out of 115 greyhounds adopted. Within the first 2 days, the third day, as Larissa mentioned, had to be cancelled. So wonderful result. And just another positive for the whole event was the attendance of Victorian Minister of Agriculture, Jacqueline Symes, who announced a $50,000 grant from the Victorian government for upgrades to the Greyhound Adoption Centre in Seymour. And Jacqueline, who is the daughter of 1988 Melbourne Cup winning trainer Roy Symes. Roy trained Hewer to success in that race. She actually adopted her first greyhound as a pet herself, a dog named Clancy. And I think the success of the day, Kuzi, could be attributed in part to the waiving of the $75 adoption fee for the first time. So people jumping on board there, and of course we don't just hand greyhounds out to anyone. They've got to go through a process and be matched to the right greyhound and prove themselves to be suitable owners. And it's just a wonderful result. And you really can't walk half a kilometre around Melbourne these days without bumping into a greyhound. So it just seems to be getting bigger and better.
Now, Larissa did tell me that, because I said, well, it must be very quiet there at Seymour now with all the kennels having been vacated. And I think every single dog that was available did go, did it not? I think there was a handful, which I said on air to Larissa that they'd be the special greyhounds now. If you knew that there was just two or three left, people would have been running in to take those and say, well, we'll make sure every greyhound is gone. But they're going to do some cleaning, maintenance, just upgrade everything down there and then bring more dogs in. And for those that say, well, how can we go from here? There are always a never-ending stream of greyhounds needing adoption. So even though we've broken records, there will be 100-plus greyhounds there in the coming weeks and months to go to new homes again.
Oh, no doubt about that. And look, it's as simple as jumping onto the Greyhound Adoption Program website, gap.grv.org.au. There's always a profile of the greyhounds available, so there'll be plenty in foster care as we speak, getting ready for adoption over the coming weeks. You can head up to Seymour. You can go to the facility in Baxter, just on the cusp of the Mornington Peninsula there, short drive from Melbourne. So plenty of options, and that website is the place to go, gap.grv.org.au.
And I assume, gentlemen, that Molly and yourselves, the dog of the week, must be going every time we mention it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amazing success. And as we heard from Larissa there, the makeup of a typical adopting person family is just so varied these days. Great to see. Soon the greyhounds will totally take over domination of Victorian streets as a pet. It has been an amazing success. This is Off the Leash with Andrew Hughes, Brett McLaughlin, Andrew Copley. Coming up soon, Jeff Gill will take our call to talk about the win of Max Tractor and the Maiden opening up the card at the Meadows on Saturday night. Before that, though, Andrew, the Victoria's Racing Integrity Commissioner, Sal Perna, will be heading across a number of racetracks across the coming months. It's being called the Road Show. He's going to be presenting and taking questions. Now, this was done before, but it's going to be a slightly different format this time. And explain to our listeners.
Yeah, so Sal Perna's done the rounds in recent years during about a four-week block. And this year, it's going to be a little bit of a different format. It'll be more of a Q&A style. So Sal will obviously present and obviously give a great insight into the way he sort of looks over the racing industry, not just for greyhounds, but for all three codes.
and people have a chance to really have some good back and forth conversation with Sal. People can also email their questions in advance. Simply go to the GRV website to get a question across to Sal. But it all kicks off at Horsham on Tuesday, February 5. Also, just a point of difference for this year as well, every one of these presentations will be held at a race meeting, which was what was suggested by a number of participants. So, going to be very popular, and we look forward to that kicking off on Feb 5. Go to grv.org.au to find out a list of dates and venues.
Do you know if down the track any scripts or summaries of what's been asked will be put on the GRV website or Facebook or social media for those that can't attend? Because I guess in some cases there might be a few regular recurring questions from people at different venues.
It's a good question. I think it's something we should definitely follow up. So hopefully Sal's got some things in place to get that happening, and if he does, we'll definitely tap into it.
Previously, I think they've actually been available on the Racing Commissioner's website afterwards, so there's normally a transcript
terrific.
There.
Yep. Well, look forward to that. That should be a terrific discussion. So just as we go to a break, do you roughly know when they're being held on a race meeting day or night, is it prior to, how does it work, given some of the participants will be involved once the meeting's underway, Andrew?
Yeah, that's right. So it'd probably start, I'd imagine, probably an hour before the race meeting kicks off, give the trainers a chance to kennel their greyhounds. They've got a little bit of time to kill in that space before the racing kicks off, so that's the ideal time to kick it off. And I'd say that Sal will certainly get the crux of his presentation out of the way there, and then people can come and go as they please and ask questions throughout the night.
This is Off the Leash, coming back shortly with trainer Jeff Geale. Lots of other regular segments, of course, to come. The ever, ever successful Watchdog, the Litter of the Week, and more. This is Off the Leash for Greyhound Racing Victoria on RSN 927 and GRV social media as well.
It's RSN 927's Off the Leash.
Racing. Racing pass to the outside, a little bit slow to begin, and Dinah Turner speed going through. Max Tractor on the inside is going to lead around the first turn, and Max Tractor took up the running by about four lengths now. Over here's Alexis, followed then by Dinah Turner on the outside, then Dinah Yukata. Off heels at that point was Racing Pulse, followed by Dinah Varsity, and Dinah Robbie back at the tail, coming up the back straight, and Max Tractor is well out in front, about eight or ten lengths clear. In second spot over to the inside, Dinah Yukata from here's Alexis, then came Racing Pulse, but an easy one to Max Tractor. Max Tractor won it second everywhere.
Max Tractor winning there. Max Tractor winning the maiden to start the card at the Meadows on the weekend. Of course, we were disappointed here at RSN 927 that Racing Pulse couldn't win, but I know our next guest was very, very happy because we've heard there the replay, Max Tractor winning. And of course, he's trained by Jeff Geale, who's just a bit of a newcomer to the Greyhound training circles. Although, of course, his brother, very well known in the industry, and Jeff Geale joins us on the program.
Jeff, you've only got two greyhounds in your team, and Max Tractor's the first dog you've trained for yourself. I imagine it must have been quite an emotional victory for both yourself and your wife, Marie, after Saturday night.
We bred him as a pup, so we've had him right from 3 months of age. And to do it in the city for the first time, and then actually to back up the second week, it's just... it's been quite surreal, guys. It's been fantastic.
I imagine the celebrations would have been quite wild. Now, you've only got back into greyhound racing after a bit of a long break. Can you tell us about your introduction into the sport?
It goes back a long way, back into the mid-70s. When, my brother and I, we worked at a local dog track, the Cario Oval Dog Track in Geelong, and Dave had a friend at school who was into greyhounds. So that's how the introduction happened, and but also my dad, he was at a business meeting with a gentleman who was an owner back in those days, and he offered him to train a pup, actually it wasn't a pup, it was a racing greyhound. So Dad came home one night and sat Dave and I down and said, do you want me to bring a dog home? And he did. It was called Little Snooks. And he turned out to be, an okay dog, but he wasn't top class.
Great story, Jeff. So you've been in the sport for a long time. Your brother Dave enjoyed enormous success in the last couple of years, particularly with Uphill Jill and My Redeemer. They've won four Group 1 races between them. I know you've been by Dave's side for a lot of that and certainly been a great help, but is it his success that's inspired you to take up training greyhounds yourself in recent times?
Well, actually, I can't say that that's what it was, even though being part of the journey, but we go back about early 2016 when I did come sort of back into the sport, but to help Dave out, because we knew as a family, particularly our parents, who are quite watchful of all their kids, like any parent would be. And but he had his hands full out there, and it was just through conversations about going out to give Dave a hand and Rose, and so actually did in about early 2016. He had some good performers at times: Striker Klinsman, Sail Away Jackie, Irish Whip, good City Dogs. So we just started helping out, and that's how it really started, and just got more and more involved, and then the hooks did set in. I was hooked again after all those years away since the 70s, back well and truly now, for sure.
And you've caught the bug, no doubt about that. You've got two greyhounds in work, Zipping Eleanor, who's owned in New South Wales, and now Max Tractor, who's won 2 from 2. Tell us, has training greyhounds been what you expected so far?
Well, after being out so long, I have come back into the industry, and alongside Dave, like he showed me the ropes, and it's just been amazing mentor and just a great person to be around, let alone being my brother. But yeah, there's a lot of changes. Where greyhound racing is today, I would say it's at a good place. Just the whole welfare, integrity. JV done an amazing job to where it is, having tier 3 racing. That was unheard of in my days, early days. And even veteran racing, it's just amazing where the sport is at the moment, and it's come such a long way. And I believe there is a place for the hobby trainer. Like my wife and I, Marie, as you know, we've got the two in the backyard, just in a domestic property. But to be able to go out and only 15 minutes from Dave and to work with him still, but to have both, it's almost like I've got the best of both worlds, having backyard hobby experience with Max Tractor and Zipping Eleanor. But to work with Dave, it's just, it's a great opportunity. I don't believe the backyard train is finished. There's a good chance for people out there, especially to get involved with others, you know, to be able to volunteer work on a greyhound property and then turn into something bigger like it has for me. It's almost like a dream come true.
Speaking of work, Jeff, now you've obviously been working outside of greyhound racing for a long time. What is your actual occupation?
Actually, I still work full time. I pinch myself wondering how I fit it all in, but with Department of Human Services, I work with people who have disabilities. My title is actually a Disability Development Support Officer, or in other terms, a carer, and been there for 15 years. And it's been a great experience working with people who have disabilities.
Speaking off air too, you mentioned you've seen some pretty crazy things during your time at work, dealt with some difficult issues along the way and probably some tricky people. But has working in that field helped you with training your greyhounds?
That's a good question, because I believe sincerely that it has, because I do work with people with complex behaviours, and but they've taught me so much about not just like humanity, just treating people with dignity, having an empathy for people who have disabilities, and I have a genuine care, and it's only at times when I perhaps see staff that are yelling at a resident or a client, and I have to look twice and think who's actually got the disability, because we just don't do that. We treat them with respect, and even with the greyhounds, I just we treat them with respect. They're a beautiful animal, and they're greyhounds. They have their issues, as we all know, but we try and create a peaceful environment here at our property here, and I know Dave does the same on a bigger scale. But so to that answer that question, I'd say definitely it has had a big impact.
Jeff, we look forward to seeing Max Tractor returning to our racetrack soon. But do you have any future ambitions as a trainer this year and perhaps going forward?
Well, we're just keeping in his grades at the moment. On Wednesday week, there's a race for grade 6-7, and he fits in there nicely, and that would be with a final if he makes the final. Mm-hmm. So that would be 4 races. So, look, we do have in sight the Paws of Thunder. I mean, sorry, not the Paws of Thunder, the launching pad, mm-hmm. which is coming up in April. So we'll just keep an eye on how he does over the next month. But if he keeps improving, he's certainly going to be a contender there for sure.
Jeff Gill, thank you for joining us today on Off the Leash.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
It's RSN 927's Off the Leash.
Jeff Geale, I do hope maybe somewhere down the track he can train a greyhound to be involved in the Great Chase program, because with his work with the disability and groups like that, that's a perfect fit. All right, let's move on Off the Leash with Andrew Hughes, Brett McLaughlin, Andrew Copley, and, of course, the topic of Melton is something I'm going to discuss, and I'm about to learn, because I wasn't aware there was a thriving greyhound track in Melton. When we use the term Melton, it's always to do with trots, guys.
Yeah, well, there is a straight track up at Melton Kersey. It's where they do a little bit of coursing, but it's also a great training facility for trainers out in the west. And unfortunately, a water pump has been stolen from the club, news coming out of there this week. And as such, the track currently can't be watered. So trainers, if you are going to try your dogs at Melton, please inspect the track first. Make sure you're happy with it before you put the greyhounds on the surface. And the club is certainly hoping that the problem will be rectified soon. Go to the Melton Greyhounds website to keep up to date on that.
Well, just quickly, a few other issues. Before we talk fire safety, Brett, again repeat, as we did at the start of the show, the changes later in the week due to the heat.
Yeah, so Warrigal Thursday has been moved to a morning meeting. That was a day meeting. Now, Hillsville on Friday has been cancelled due to the extreme forecast of 41, and we've also had to move the Shepparton Thursday meeting to Saturday morning. So Warrigal day to morning on Thursday, Hillsville Friday off, and Shepparton Thursday to Saturday.
Speaking of heat, fires, safety, again, it's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it has to be talked about, because if it does happen, have to have plans in place. And Andrew Copley, we remind the GRV participants that there is a safety plan according to all clubs across the state.
Yeah, well, the clubs are on their toes. They know that things, fire can strike at any time, particularly with regards to greyhound properties. So just something for our breeders and trainers to keep in mind, that they can potentially house their greyhounds at their local club in the case where their property is under threat of fire. Contact your local greyhound club if that is the situation for you.
Let's go to our gap dog of the week. And well, nearly all the greyhounds were adopted, and as you listen to this show, that might almost change, because our gap dog or dogs of the week are the remaining dogs that are there, and it won't take long, I think, to find them a new home. They're going to be very special, aren't they, Brett McLaughlin?
They certainly will. Tommy and Zeta, they come as a package deal. Now, they've lived together for many years and returned to Gap through no fault of their own. Now a little bit older, they are looking for a quiet home to spend the rest of their days. Tommy and Zeta are some of Gap's favourite seniors, but unfortunately, as you mentioned, Cusey, they were the two dogs left at the Seymour Adoption Day and are still looking for a home. So if you think you've got what it takes, jump on the Gap website and take these two lovely dogs home.
We'll follow up that. I'm sure they'll be adopted, and we'll speak maybe to the adopting owners in the coming weeks. All right, the Gap Dog of the Week. And just before we wrap it up, a few other regular segments. The Watchdog guys continues to tip many winners.
Yeah, another great day for the Watchdog on Sunday. If you have a look at the Sandown meeting, there are 11 races on the card. The Watchdog picked 5 out of the 11 winners, along with 4 second placings. So for your free form guides and expert selections for all Victorian greyhound race meetings, simply Google the Watchdog.
And the litter of the week.
Yeah, Barcia Bale out of Killarney Clare, whelped in October 2018. Killarney Clare, of course, won 13 from 56, a multiple city winner, bred by Andrea Gurry, who, of course, bred dual Group 1 winner Lightning Frank. And to keep abreast of every greyhound litter, Brenna Victoria, simply Google Greyhound Monthly. You can find it all there.
And you can find out all information on the GRV website, social media, as well as listening to Off the Leash. Brett and Andrew, we'll see you next time.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Cusey.
Want to hear Off the Leash again? It'll be up on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.